we continue our series, we have the privilege of hearing our brother Bob Turner speak to us. Bob is a graduate of both the Bachelor and Master's program of the Bear Valley Bible Institute. And Bob and Cheryl are people that ever since they were students here, you just knew that there was something special about these people. And Bob was a superior student with a superior attitude, with a superior work ethic. And as the years went on, and, you know, Bob worked with Dick Brandt as a missionary in Prince Rupert, British Columbia in Canada, and then went from there to Greenbrier, Arkansas, and did a terrific work there until the day came when he got a call from me seeing if there would be a possibility of prying him away from a very good, successful work in Greenbrier to come train preachers. And Bob said at the time that was probably the only thing that would have pulled him away from Greenbrier. When Bob came, we had in mind one particular job description, and that was what I sold to him at the time. And then not long after he got here, there was a tremendous need with the extension program, of which that was not something that was pitched to Bob at all. Our extension program, for lack of maybe a better term, was a mess. And it needed some direction. It needed a spiritual man to be its director. And so I remember the conversation with Bob saying, would you be willing to take over and serve as the director of the extension program? And Bob graciously agreed to tackle that very difficult job. And now I look back now and I said, you know, I've done some smart things in my life, but that goes way on the top of one of the smarter is getting Bob. He has taken the extension program and turned it into a work that is just, thanks to the efforts of God through him, have turned into a marvelous thing. We're blessed to have a man like Bob here at Bear Valley. He brings a lot to the table, both from a work ethic and ministry perspective and mission experience. And so, Bob, come preach to us.
Thanks. Pooh Duke is trying to reach you. You have a text. If I were to really tell you how that conversation went with Denny, it wasn't quite as smooth as he told it.
It never is.
When he came in and sat down, he's telling me all this stuff that's happening, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, why are you telling me this? And then he said, would you be interested in that? And my initial response was, yes! And then it was like, wait a minute. What does it involve? And life has never been the same since. I love talking about the extension program. If you were here Sunday night, you got a big taste of what the extension program is all about. So I don't want to reiterate everything that I talked about then, but I do want to share some things with you, some that I think are fun and some that are obviously more serious. I like to start out kind of really sharing the heart of what the extension program is all about and why I love it so much. The first reason is because you really get to wear some of the coolest clothes that you will ever find. And it's not so much the outfit, it was the hat. Really like the beanie thing that we had going there. But beyond the clothes that you get to wear, you also get to stay in deluxe accommodations where you travel. This particular hotel was in Lagos, Nigeria. A hotel I hope I never sleep in again. But I love the fact that they have the air conditioning cemented into the wall. It didn't work. I just thought it was fascinating. They had to cement it into the wall so nobody would steal it. There were no windows, just bars on the windows. And somebody had already taken the television, so there was no TV to watch. So anyway, I was glad when 6 o'clock came the next morning so that we could move to another location. But another reason I like the extension program is because you can always rest assured your travel is going to be pretty smooth. We were in Nepal on this occasion, and this guy that we had rented this van, really, to travel out to a mountain congregation to meet with a small group of people, and they just drive one speed, foot on the floor. And when he hit this, it just flooded out the whole engine. Well, after we finally got it started and we went on, we came across an area where the ruts were about this deep. And I thought, coming back is going to be a challenge because we're never going to get up this hill in those ruts. And sure enough, he hit it at about 65 miles an hour, and it bottomed out. And I thought, we lost the transmission, we lost the motor, and it'll probably take us at least a day to walk back to the city. Well, when we finally, everybody got out of the van, and we walked past this. This was right before this mud hole. We finally got around it, and he got that thing started. And so when we're loading back up, the only English he knew as he slaps that car is Japanese, tough. It was definitely that. So, but you can see the road conditions are always favorable. So travel is always interesting. Another area that I really like is the food. And of course, most of you guys already know that I'm a vegetarian. And you know real well it has served me greatly traveling overseas. This was one of the open market scenes, fish. And if you don't like fish, there's always crickets. And, you know, the cool thing is Wes and Neil both took that on. I don't have anything to prove, brothers. So I didn't put one of those in my mouth. There's too much protein in that for me. But we did eat in Nepal, and this was an interesting dish. This right here was kind of a lentil soup and a homemade tortilla-looking thing. That was pretty good. This stuff back here, it was a cauliflower casserole of some sort. It was curried. And if you like hot food, you'd love Nepal, because I tell you, one bite of that is all I needed. And this stuff here is kind of like greens from back home. It really keeps you regular. So those dishes are really good. So you can eat overseas. I also appreciate when I travel the alert security that you have. We were moved from the hotel where we were safe to the school where we had guards. And you can see they were enjoying their routine. The other thing I really love about the extension program is the reliability of electricity. And I just don't understand why they have intermittent power. I don't understand how anybody could figure this thing out. And if that was including internet, you were really in trouble. But the best thing I love about the extension program, it's the only place you will ever see Denny Petrillo wear this hat. There are a lot of fun things about traveling in the extension program. And so now that we've had a good laugh, let me really get down to areas that are a little more serious about this program and why it is such an awesome work and why I do really love it so much. First of all, when you think about the need that exists, many of you have already heard me talk about the magnitude of the number. As of this morning, we're talking about 7,105,520,000 plus, and it just keeps growing. And what really baffles me in connection to this number, while I really can't even comprehend the magnitude of that in the form of people that exist on this earth, we're also told that every second, 1.8 people die. And what that means is in the time frame that we're going to be in this chapel this morning, 3,240 people are going to die. And they will stand before God. Most will not be ready, if not all. The need is incredible. And when we think about the Great Commission, we need to realize the magnitude of those statements. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. When we look at each of those statements, we need to recognize that there is so much more out there. And we need to consider how it is that we're going to be able to most effectively reach that number. Which brings me to a second reason why I really love the extension program so much. And that is the model that exists. Now, I want to do a contrast for you. I want you to think about, for just a moment, the traditional missionary method. And when I show you this, I'm not trying to, in any way, downplay the significance of our traditional missionary method, because it has been effective in a lot of ways. But basically what happens is you have a guy, And he travels over to some place and he goes on maybe a 2-week short-term mission trip. He comes back fired up. He wants to go to a particular mission area and he says, I need support. So he raises his support, gets an overseeing congregation, and he goes over. And let's say that he's able to have 3 Bible studies every week. 52 weeks out of the year, he's doing Bible studies. And at the end of 2 years, he's able to get somebody to come join him. So now at the 2-year point, you got 2 full-time workers, and they're each doing 3 Bible studies a week, 52 weeks a year. And he continues this pattern for the next few years. And so at 10 years, you have 5 full-time workers. And if all 5 of them were doing 3 Bible studies each every week, 52 weeks out of the year, they would have conducted 4,200 or 680 Bible studies. And that's a great number. And I know that there would have been many people converted out of that. But the challenge is, first of all, I don't know places where they have that many full-time workers that have gone over as a missions team. Some of them are, and I'm sure there are places that exist, but they're not many. And so the difference when we begin to think about this method versus the extension training model, to take the idea and the concept that you guys are going through here, to take men for 2 years, train them full-time to go out and do the work of teaching the gospel. You start with the same guy. And what he does, instead of going over to do 3 Bible studies a week, he's going to take 10 men and he's going to train them full time for 2 years to go out and do the work. So the first 2 years, you have no Bible studies going on, just training. And then every 2 years, he's going to bring in more. So at 10 years, you've got 40 full time workers. And in that period of time, if each of them are doing 3 Bible studies a week, they will have conducted 31,200 Bible studies. That's the difference the extension training model makes. And that's why I love this program. Because it is so incredibly awesome to see the fact that when you look at what we presently are involved in, 16 schools in 14 countries and 300 plus students. So you magnify that number even more so when you begin to think about the far-reaching aspect of what's taking place in this work. A third reason that I really love this program is because of the people you get to work with. Now, I know that every day that we've heard something in regards to the idea of people, and we are in the people business. And I know that there are stories from this country and there are stories from countries all around the world, and everybody in this room can relate to you various stories. But I tell you, when I get to see a guy like this, it's just incredible to think about what this one guy has done in a small village of Wotutu, Cameroon. I received an email from this guy here, a long way, S.O.A. Gregory, out of the blue. He wanted to send students from Cameroon to Denver to train them. And I have a little form letter I send back that says, we don't do that. We're not going to bring students from other countries to here and try to train them in hopes that they'll go back to their country, because they don't. I said, we have a school that we're working with in Nigeria, and we'll be glad to raise the funds to send that student or students over there to Nigeria. And he wrote back and he said, look, we sent a guy over to Jos. It wasn't a school that we're affiliated with. It was in a northern section of Nigeria. He said, we sent a student over there and he was killed by Muslims. Well, that obviously touched my heart. So we made a trip that September to talk with a long way about the possibility of having a school in Cameroon. I had no idea what we were getting into. This guy is probably one of the greatest evangelists, at least at heart, that I've ever seen. And the only thing that is holding him back is money. His vision is so far reaching. He not only took 20 men to train the first 2 years of that school, he's got 28 more he's training now, and he's already envisioning starting a school in the French section that is in southwest Cameroon. And he wants to do more. He would do more evangelism if he had the money. And that's the only thing that's really holding him back. And in the 2 years, that first batch of students, you guys who were here Sunday night already saw this, they went to 14 plus villages. They started or revived 8 congregations, had 438 baptisms and 302 restorations. Is that not incredible? In 2 years, that's the difference this program can make on a global level. So when you guys leave school and you go to work with the congregation, some of you are already talking to me about being involved in some way within this particular work. Whether you get involved overseas in the work or if you're working with a congregation, keep this work in mind. Because what a greater way for a congregation to think globally as far as mission work than training men to do that work. Because it is far more effective than anything else that we have been involved in. In fact, to give you a perspective of just 1 month, the difference that it makes in the month of July, just in the reporting schools, every week I get reports from various schools, but the ones who reported to me during the month of July reported a total of 165 baptisms and 27 restorations. And it's that way every month. And if you don't get the weekly report, you need to get the weekly report and read. Because I tell you, it's the one thing that will help build up and encourage us in the work of God around the world. We can't always compare what God is doing to one location. We need to look on a massive scale to think what's taking place. I also get to work with a guy like this one. I tell you, when I first met this gentleman here, I can't even pronounce his last name. But when I think about the work that he has done, he works in Togo, Palame, Togo. And what he has done as the director and just about the only teacher they have, he has consistently brought at least 15 denominational preachers to the Lord. And many of them have converted their entire congregations. But the one that stood out to me the most was this one. This is David Wama. And the gentleman's name before, sorry, was Cephas. But Cephas trained David Wama, who came from a denominational background. He was preaching for a denomination just outside Palame. And when he was baptized, he began going back to his congregation to teach them and converted about half of them. And then the denominational hierarchy stepped in. They called him and said, "You have lost your mind." And they wanted him to come in and to talk to them. And he said, "I'm not doing that." So they had him arrested. They went to the village chief because the judicial system said this is not a matter for our courts. And so they sent him to the village for this trial. And the village chief said, "It's not a crime for a man to leave one religion to go to another." But he was so intrigued by the dedication of David Wama, he wanted to know more about this Church of Christ. He said, "Do you have material I can read about?" And so I'm hoping in the future we're going to see not only a village chief, but that entire village become Christians. Amen. Through his efforts. But it didn't stop there, because this denomination had been paying him tons of money. So they arrested him again, put him in jail until he could pay it all back. Thankfully, we had a congregation in this country that has been involved in that work. And when they found out about it, they sent the money to get him out of school. This was all going on while he was in class. Really? This was while he was taking classes, like you guys. So we got him out, and I can't tell you how awesome it was to put that piece of paper in his hands.
Praise God.
It's incredible to see the way that these guys work. And the last reason, very quickly, why I love this program is because of the sacrifice those guys are willing to make. Because of not only what they believe, but their commitment to share it with others. It is awesome. In Arusha, Tanzania, the guys sit 6 hours a day in chairs just like that. I went over there with Denny in 2009, and I was teaching, and during a break, I sat down in a chair for about 15 minutes and didn't think I was going to get up. They're hard. The slats are running the wrong way, number one. So they brought me a cushion. It didn't help much, but it did help. And so they would take cardboard and stretch it. You can see it's up here as well. That's just a little relief, but they will sit for 6 hours a day taking notes by hand to learn everything they can about God's Word so that they can go out and share it with others. They will endure some of the most adverse circumstances. Meeting in a one-room building like this, you can see that they've got pen and paper in hand and a Bible. They sleep at night on these mattresses that they push the tables out of the way and sleep on the floor just so they can learn about God and how to more effectively preach Him so that they can bring souls to Christ. When I think about what I love about this program, there is no doubt the future of this work is what excites me the most. Because, as I'm told, the eyes are the window of the soul. And when I look into the eyes of these kids, that's what it's all about. I know that their future is going to be different. And it's going to be different because the people in that country, those men, are being taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are teaching it to their people.
Praise God.
And when we think about what's taking place all around the world, the light of the gospel that had its source in Jesus Christ that began here and has extended throughout the world has made it possible for us to join hands with the greatest people I know and to be able to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see them share it with their people to bring others to the Lord. That's why I love this work. And hopefully you'll love it too and that you'll be a part of it. This is my email address if you don't already have it. And if you want to receive that weekly report, send me an email and I'll make sure you get it every Sunday night. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Let's be standing in Abraham's place.